Chapter 20. Tea for Thankfulness. From an early age, children are taught to say thank you. It is one of the basic rules of good manners, and you would expect that by the time we reach adulthood, we should be experts in thankfulness. Yet how easy it can be to plow through the day without a single thankful word or thought directed towards our Heavenly Father. God doesn't need our thanks, but we need to give it. An attitude of thankfulness towards our Father demonstrates our appreciation of His great love for us, gives us a broader, less introspective perspective on our life as disciples, and helps us to see trials as spiritual stepping stones rather than blockades. It also makes our lives, and the lives of those around us, so much more pleasant. Thankfulness breeds positivity and contentment, and these characteristics are extremely infectious. Give thanks always. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 136, verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. 9, verse 1. Verses like these from the Book of Psalms set a precedent for our own prayers and praises. Our priority must always be to thank God and acknowledge that all things come from Him, and that without Him we can do nothing. Being consistently mindful of this is hard when the world around us is persistently tells us to look inside ourselves, to trust in our inner strength, to take pride in our personal achievements, to look after number one. This is why it is crucial that we immerse ourselves daily in the Word of God. The Scriptures keep us grounded. They tell us to fix our eyes on God, to trust in His strength, to thank Him for the ways He is working in our lives, and to put Him first. Ever mindful that all things come from Him, we are to give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 20. If ever we become unthankful and complacent, trusting in our own strength more than in God's, we should not be surprised if He steps in to discipline us. We know that He does this because He loves us. One by one, He will remove the things that are separating us from Himself, our worldly crutches. This may happen slowly or, as in the case of Job, almost simultaneously, and since we are beset with human nature, always tempted to put ourselves first and to let pride get in the way, we know that discipline through the suffering is an inevitable yet important aspect of our discipleship. Reframing trials. When things are going well and we are feeling happy and buoyed up, it is easy to feel thankful. But what happens when life gets tough and we experience God's discipline firsthand? How easy is it to maintain a thankful attitude when troubles arise at work, when we suffer ill health, or when our relationships become strained, when feelings of disappointment, stress, anxiety, bitterness, or resentment threaten to overwhelm us? Expressing thankfulness is rarely high on our list of priorities, and we find that our positivity is quickly taken captive by negative, pessimistic thoughts. Yet James tells us to count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. Chapter 1, verse 2. Joy? Surely joy is the last thing we feel when we are under immense stress and pressure. Nevertheless, we are exhorted to reframe our present situation and to view it through God's eyes to see the bigger picture. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Romans 5, verses 3-5. God uses our trials to teach us vital lessons and to mold our character. He does this for our good, that we may share His holiness. Hebrews 12, verse 10. We can be thankful that He does, for without this discipline, we would be poor disciples, selfish, weak, ungrateful, and unholy. Thankfulness during times of trial does not come naturally, but it is a frame of mind we can certainly develop over time. We can start by setting aside time every day to focus on all the things for which we are thankful. This might be a time of quiet reflection and prayer, or we may choose to keep a gratitude diary or a thankfulness journal. At first, we shall find it easiest to express thankfulness for the happiest, biggest blessings in life, but we'll soon discover that it is the small things that bring us more lasting pleasure. Given time, this thankful mindset will become second nature, and we shall find ourselves thanking God for all things, including any trials we may face. Reframing trials in the light of what we know of God's love and purpose, We shall be thankful for lessons learned, for opportunities to develop the godly characteristics of patience, endurance, trust, and hope, and thankful that we have a Father in heaven who loves us enough to discipline us. And so, day by day, we shall learn to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Songs of Thanks. We have considered reflection, prayer, and journaling as quiet ways of expressing thankfulness. But are these the only ways? The scriptures also place a lot of emphasis on the use of music and song in thanking God. Example, Psalm 28, verse 7. Nehemiah appointed two large choirs to give thanks when the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem was complete. Nehemiah 12, verse 31. In verse 27, we read that the Levites came to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication of the wall with gladness, with thanksgiving, and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. We should not underestimate the role which music can play in our thanks and praise to our Heavenly Father. It is important also to understand that different cultures and generations will use music in different ways for the same purpose of thanking and praising God. However we choose to do this, we ought always to ensure that the words we sing and listen to are scripturally balanced and doctrinally sound. We also need to respect each other's feelings about worship music and work out ways of accommodating differing approaches when expressing thanks and praise. Whilst we know that God seeks an attitude of thankfulness, exactly how we express that is down to us as individuals and collectively as ecclesias. Appreciating others. One key benefit of a thankful attitude is that we begin to be more appreciative of what we have. This is a crucial antidote to materialism, consumerism, and the lust of the flesh. It can also have a huge impact on our relationships with one another. It is so easy to take our friends and family, inside and outside the ecclesia, for granted. How might our attitude towards them change if we were to thank God for them every day? I suspect we would begin to love them more deeply, see them through God's eyes, and treat them with improved kindness and respect. We would soon begin to notice and appreciate the many unique ways in which each one of them enhance our lives. The Apostle Paul is a good role model here, as he continually made mention of his brothers and sisters in his prayers, and was always eager to tell them that he was thankful for their love and good works. He wrote, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Ephesians 1, verse 16. And again, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. Once we are in the habit of thanking God for the people around us, perhaps we shall find it easier to tell them just how much they mean to us, and about the positive impact they have on our lives. To hear someone tell you that they are thankful for what you do, for who you are, and for the way in which God is working through you is such a boost. It can fix frayed friendships, strengthen family ties, and rekindle the flame of a faltering faith. Everyday thankfulness. Such a change in thinking will inevitably affect not only the way in which we interact with others, but also the way in which we go about daily life. A positive, thankful person who is mindful of the small blessings in life and has learnt to view trials as opportunities for growth, this is the kind of person who goes through life with a spring in his step and a smile on his face. He will not let small hiccups ruin his day. Train delayed? Then it is the perfect opportunity to go for a quick walk, do the readings, or befriend that elderly man sitting alone. While others might grumble, the thankful disciple smiles and finds an optimistic way in which to reframe the current situation for the better. Even when bigger trials come to test her faith, the disciple who has learnt to thank God in all circumstances will not let these things get the better of her. She will remember that God has promised blessings now, yes, but also sufferings. And she will see the bigger picture. With her eyes fixed firmly on the finish line, where her master waits with open arms wide, she will run the race with determination and endurance. With so much to be thankful for, there is little room left in her head to worry about present trials. She sees them as learning curves and stepping stones, not as insurmountable brick walls. Though there will be days when she finds it hard to remain optimistic, God will always find ways to nudge her thinking in the right direction. As for you, soon others will pick up on this unusual positive attitude. Why are you so happy all the time? They will ask. So you tell them about God's inexpressible gift of grace. You will tell them that you have every reason to be thankful, for your Father in heaven has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1 verse 12. You tell them that you believe all things are working together for your good, whether joys or trials. You echo the words of the psalmist who sang, I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Psalm 86 verse 12. And you mean every word. Questions and suggestions. Do you stand out as a positive person with a grateful attitude? If not, why not? What is holding you back? How might you begin to incorporate thankfulness into your life? 2. Do you take time to thank God for all the many blessings in your life, including the trials which you know are helping you to grow? 3. How do you feel most able to express your thankfulness to God? 4. Does an attitude of thankfulness pervade the conversations you have with others, or do you wallow in self-pity when things are going wrong or constantly putting yourself or others down? Make a conscious effort to reframe conversations in light of the wonderful things God is doing in your life, and express your thankfulness to others as well as to God. It is an infectious attitude and will boost others too. 5. Do you tell others just how thankful you are that they are in your life?